weird feeling today in the Prep Sports Now podcast room. Case Kiefer, I'm here with Ray Brewer. You know, Ray, at the beginning of the season, we come in here with all these sheets of paper. We got all this stuff so we don't forget all the games. Today, only one game to talk about, no materials in front of us, and I think for the first time in the history of our podcast, we had to do a take two because I was using the wrong microphone about 40 seconds ago. So just a weird all-around feeling. Football coming to an end, and I know you're disappointed but excited to see Liberty and Bishop Gorman.
Yeah, everybody's excited to see that game. Two great lines on the offense and defensive sides for both Gorman and Liberty. And Liberty is, you know, cashed that check all year, running behind a big, strong, physical, aggressive offensive line. And what do you know, Bishop Gorman is obviously likely more physical, more nasty, and more strong. So it's a game Saturday, 1 o'clock at Rancho High that we're all looking forward to. Last week we had some fun games. Gorman beat Palo in the annual battle for Summerlin, if you will, and Liberty gets by Foothill to make it this far. Kiefer, you were in San Jose for a UFC. I'm sure it was a paradise there in comparison to Vegas. So cold.
No, it definitely was. I bet it was colder there.
I guess. Find that hard to believe. I was so cold, I could not concentrate on the Gorman-Palo game, a game that I, you know, admittedly, it's like Christmas for me. I look forward to all year. I was so cold, I had a ski hat on. Even one of the Gorman coaches mocked me for wearing a ski hat. I'm like, what do you want me to do, get my ears cold? It was freezing out there.
Yeah, that's another disappointing thing and another change we have to see. You have to deal with the elements here in these late games. Luckily, this afternoon, Saturday afternoon, I should say, it's a afternoon game, so you don't have to worry about it. But, yeah, I feel sorry for you. I mean, at least it wasn't raining, I guess, because if it was raining, you probably wouldn't even have been able to walk the sidelines.
It was a little windy, and it's not like I go there unprepared. You know, one day I wore dress pants out to, like, the Canyon Vegas game, and I froze. So I'm wearing, like, jeans. I had on two pair of socks, and I could barely function. So it's just playoff football. But I was sitting there thinking, boy, I remember going to one of Gorman's practices in the summer in August, and it was so hot out, I was, like, trying to go run under, like, the bleachers so I could, you know, not get sunburned, or, you know, I was looking for somebody that, like, dropped a bottle of water. Be like, oh, I got that for you, you know. And now all of a sudden you're like, there's a line to get hot cocoa wrapped around the stadium.
Right. I guess Gorman, really the only team in the state pretty much now that has made it a habit that they are playing both when it is extremely hot and extremely cold. They're in the state semifinals for third year in a row, maybe fourth year in a row.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. You know, Gorman coach Tony Sanchez said after the Palo game that his team needs to get its batteries recharged. You figure they had to get up to play, you know, the three national games, the Arborview both times, the Palo game, all the playoffs, and that it's a team that's tired. You know, they started practice in mid-August in pads. Here we are now a full 4 months later, and it's tough to maintain that same intensity. And you even saw it a little bit after the game, Case, where, you know, I thought there'd be a bigger celebration from Gorman. They did win the Sunset title after all, and they beat Palo, a rival. But for me, it was just very anticlimactic. You know, they win 35-7. It didn't seem like, to be quite frank, it seemed like they just beat some regular old foe in the Southwest Division. And maybe part of that's because Gorman's beat Palo 3 years in a row. But most of that, like the coach said, is to the fact that it's been a long, grinding season. They've demanded a lot of those kids, and it's definitely worn them out a little bit.
Right. Well, since I didn't get to see the game, I mean, I read your story, heard a little bit, but kind of excited to get your take on it. I know we heard about the aftermath and how you thought Gorman acted. What about during the game? You think how they looked compared to other times you've seen them this year? What are some of the keys going into this next game for the Gales?
Well, the bottom line is that Gorman's offense, and I think Palo's coach Darwin Rost hit this right on the nose. You know, they've got a unique situation where they have almost 10 players that are three-year varsity guys, and not just on the team starters. If you look at Solomon, Smith, Powell, Stanley, Strelo, Scoggins, Philippi, Hutchins, and I'm probably forgetting somebody else. We're talking guys that have basically started every game since their sophomore years. And I think that experience, we're talking I just listed eight D1 guys there, right? Two of which are still juniors. And that experience makes Gorman so dangerous. They bend, but they don't break. Paolo, we know Paolo runs the double wing. Paolo comes out in a spread. Ryan Bouye busts one through the gut. He takes it down inside the 10. You think Gorman's going to fold. Wrong. Been there before. Hold Paolo out of the end zone. They get the ball back. They drive 97 yards and score. I think Shaq Powell behind that offensive line could gain yardage whenever he wants. If they load the box, they've got a great passing game. I just don't see how Gorman is beaten. It's got to be a comedy of errors for them to lose.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I've said it all year. You've said it all year since the first time we walked in here. I mean, they're just head and shoulders above everyone. I think that's probably what you saw in the Palo Verde game. Doesn't sound like Palo Verde really even played poorly. Did what they needed to do. Caught them off guard at first, like you said. But 35-7 the score. And I will say, that's a little closer than a lot of people thought. I don't remember what we said, but I know talking to some other people around town, they thought Gorman by at least 34, 35.
Yeah,
so,
even though the unofficial line was 24. I think they and Gorman scored one pretty late, so it could have been 28-7. Then if you factor Paolo might have scored there early. So it was a lot closer. Let me tell you, I know sometimes we get off topic in this podcast studio, which makes it all the fun, but the announcers at these high school games are always just an absolute train.
Terrible.
You got like the head of the physics department that wants to hang out with the coaches, and he thinks that if he announces the games, he could go to PTs afterwards and get a beer with them, type of thing. And, you know, I will say I like the Canyon announcer, Canyon Springs.
Let's specify a beer with the coaches.
Yeah.
We're law-abiding citizens here at Prep Sports
with
now.
The adult coaches,
yeah, right.
Over the age of 21. But the Canyon announcer I thought was really good. He had this like real thick East Coast accent. He was, you could tell, retired and a professional. And, you know, the Gorman announcer actually isn't that bad. His nickname is Bulldog around town. A few people know who he is. But he butchered some Palo Verde names so bad. Of course, we've even struggled. Ryan Bouye, right?
Right, right.
And he was calling him like, Ryan Bouyo, Ryan Bouyo. And then Jake Ortal, he would be like, Jake Ortali. So he made everybody on the Palo roster like an Italian. I just thought it was
that's pretty funny. That is pretty funny.
You know, usually we go to these games, you know, the announcer will be like, yeah, that run by number three gains 20 yards. And we're counting it out, and it's like 8 yards or whatever. And I just thought I'd chime that in, that this kid said Ryan's name 20 different ways throughout the course of the game. Quite comical.
Yeah, that is pretty funny. And, no skin off of his back. We do the same thing. And I will say, I'm sure I've brought up making fun of announcers a few times on this podcast. I didn't know his name, Bulldog, but definitely one of the best in town. And I think it's a good part of...
You say he's one of the best in town, and I'm whispering, be careful.
All right.
Yeah, well, he's not one of he's Bulldog.
He's Bulldog. Yeah,
yeah. Anyways, if you know who Bulldog is, you know Bulldog. He's a great guy. He's been announcing everywhere in town for several years, but Bulldog is got a special personality that'll just make you laugh and make you cry at the same time. But obviously does a good job at the Gorman games, and just fun times. Nonetheless, I can't even remember where we're at.
Well, we've talked about Gorman's last game, the 35-7 win over Paolo. So without any great transition, we've pretty much butchered that. I think we should talk about Liberty, how they reached this game with Gorman. They won 37-35 in a rematch with Foothill to keep my playoff bracket exactly perfect. I have not missed one game so far to rub it in a little bit. But anyway, Liberty did have to come back a little bit in this game. Foothill went up early. And it was Liberty from there, and they eked out a victory. I might have said the wrong score, but they barely won, basically.
And in a typical Liberty fashion, they fall behind early, down 13-0 before rallying. Same drill for Foothill, more of a second-half team. I highly, however, doubt that that's going to work this week against Gorman. Liberty is going to have a good start to accomplish anything. Like you, I'm real curious to see how Capelli and that line are going to run against, you know, Gorman's defense. Are they going to be able to strap it up and go right at him like they've done everybody else this year? Or are they going to do like Paolo did? Paolo said, you know what? We're a running team. Our double wings are bread and butter, but we're not quite sure if it's going to work, and they end up passing more than throwing. Is that Gorman's size and experience going to take Liberty out of its offense, where they're just going to totally go back to the spread? So to be announced.
Yeah, I mean, they might. The good thing is, I'd say Liberty kind of later in the season did have a little success in that spread. Look, I don't think they're going to put up a lot of points against Gorman. I will say this, though. All year, you've brought up about four times the question of what's the best kind of offense to combat Gorman. And I really think Liberty has it. I think they have offensively the best chance to move the ball, eat up clock, and score. But here's my problem with the whole game. There's two sides. Well, there's actually three special teams. So there's three sides. Liberty might have one that could give them a chance against Gorman, the way they play their offense. But I just don't think defensively Liberty is ready for, what's going to happen to them. They've never seen an offense this well-rounded, this athletic, and I just think Gorman's going to be able to score every time they touch the ball.
Are you saying that Liberty might not be as athletic as we've thought?
I said they haven't seen anyone as athletic.
I just wanted to clarify.
Come on. We are not hating on Liberty when they have made it to the state semifinals for the second year in a row.
No doubt.
That's the other thing. I wasn't at the game, but I hope Liberty... I mean, about Gorman, you should just play with the right attitude. You should be so excited that you got this far. I think Paolo last week should have been. Liberty should have been. Just go in there with nothing to lose and play your best. It's Gorman. I like Del Sol's attitude a couple years ago when Gorman started going on this run. You know, they went in there with nothing to lose. I think they got the thing printed a little bit after public school state champions of 2009 or whatever it was. I felt like they had the right attitude. They just went in there, nothing to lose. Let's play our best. We know we're the underdog, and I hope that's the same attitude that we see with Liberty.
If you look, Case, at the last 2 years, the top five teams in town, without question, have been Gorman, Paolo, Arbor, Liberty, Vegas Centennial, right?
Sounds right. I mean, okay. I might be missing one, but...
Okay, so Paolo's had two chances at Gorman. Arbor's had three chances at Gorman. Now Liberty gets its crack. And I think Liberty has been as dominant on that part of town as Gorman has been on the other part of town. And Liberty was in the state semis last year, lost by 1 point, if you remember right. Because they went for two. Impossible to win up north in the snow, taking a bus up there. Maybe the gap isn't as wide as we think it is. I mean, this Liberty team is a dynasty of its own, and I think just because Gorman is fifth in the nation and two-time defending state champs and haven't lost, you know, since 08 to a local opponent, that we're just thinking game, set, match, Gorman by 35 or whatever it is. Hold on here. And I'm not one to be on the Liberty bandwagon. You know that for a fact. But maybe this is going to be a real game. I mean, they're as big as they are, they're experienced as they are. Why won't it be close? Am I just totally crazy in the head?
I think the only reason you're crazy in the head is because it totally contradicts everything you said all year.
I know.
You're finally making some sense, so that might be why you sound crazy. I really like what you said in comparing, you know, Liberty's run over here in the Sunrise to Gorman's in the Sunset. Look, it really isn't that different. Neither have lost any games to opponents in their own region in the last 2 years. Gorman, I know it's gone back longer than that. I do think this is a game that needed to happen. I think last year we were kind of robbed of that. I know, well, we don't have any Reno listeners, so I don't care if I offend any of them.
Reno is the armpit in Nevada.
I know Liberty was better than that Reed team last year. Reed won because Liberty had to take the bus. They had to be in the cold, the snow. I feel like we kind of got robbed
McQueen.
There's how much I like Reno. I knew they were better than that McQueen team. I think we kind of got robbed of that state championship game. Not that Liberty would have won, as I don't think they would have by any stretch, but I think they would have kept it closer than the McQueen Lancers. And we didn't get to see that, so I think we've wanted to see it for a whole year. I want to see if Liberty can just smash it up in the middle with Nico Capelli for five plays in a row and then maybe have Kainakua toss a ball out. I want to see how they match up with them. So,
I mean, how many times has Gorman faced an offense that's going to come at you with a big physical fullback and has big physical powerful linemen? Right?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Now, Now, we've totally given too much credit to Liberty. We're talking a team that falls behind early virtually every game, is prone to turnovers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's every game. It's a guy's running, and all of a sudden, gravity takes the ball, drops it on the floor, and another guy on the other team picks it up almost seemingly every time. But it's a game everybody's looking forward to. It's here, right? Finally, we're getting physical football. Strap it up. I might stand like on the track at Rancho so I don't get hit.
Yeah, you're just going to stand on the track at Rancho because you're so devastated that it isn't Bishop Warman Desert Pines, as I think you picked. But yeah, anyway, I mean, my final thought going back is I hope Liberty, their school over there, I hope they're proud for making it this far. Whoop it up. Have some fun in this game. Let's hear the chant, the red, white, and blue. Red, white, and blue. I love that stuff, you know? And give Gorman all they can handle. No way I'm picking against Gorman here, though. I think Gorman wins big, and I've seen your score, so I know you feel the same.
I didn't even know they had a song, Red, White, and Blue.
I'm pretty sure it's them. At least whatever it is, something gets stuck in my head, and it got stuck in my head the other day. I'm like, man, where did that come from? The only thing I can come up with is Liberty. So if that's not your chant, I'm 95% sure it is. If that's not your chant, I apologize. You can please adopt it. It's red, white, and blue. Red, white, and blue. So there you go.
By the cheerleaders, right?
Yeah, I think it's the cheerleaders, but I think they have a lot of yell leaders because it's a really – I don't have a very deep voice, but I'm trying to accentuate that here. It's more deep. It doesn't sound like girls. It's not red. It's red. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, all right. Well, anyways, just recapping the keys, a shorter edition of Prep Sports Now. I will tell our loyal listeners that we'll be back next week to talk about the high school state championship game. And then after that, we go right into hoop. We're looking forward to covering the high school hoop season as Kiefer rolls his eyes again.
Not rolls my eyes. I'm just a little bit worried because I feel like I know these football teams pretty well. I have a good grasp on them, as seen by both of us have like picked like 89% of the games right. If you ask me to name 15 players that play high school basketball right now, I don't think I can get there.
Well,
so that's why it just sounds like a daunting task. But we will be here. I wasn't rolling my eyes saying we wouldn't be here.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Lastly, the keys to the game. I think if Liberty's going to keep it close, they're going to have to not be Liberty early. They're going to have to start fast with no turnovers and obviously not be overwhelmed with the situation. A lot of teams, as you know, every team when they play Gorman, it's like, hey, we've already lost. Let's go see how we play. Can't have that mentality. And for Gorman, just, I guess, get over that mental barrier of possibly being tired and seize the moment and go from there.
Is 36 a fair enough line for this game? Is that what you'd say?
I think it's too high. If you were throwing 36 out there, I would take Liberty.
Wow. You haven't taken Liberty for one thing in 3 years. We have finally broke him. Brewer would take Liberty plus 36.
I just did get hooked on a college basketball game where I had Drake at 7.5. They were up by 6 with 8 to go. They fouled, and Virginia hit both foul shots.
Well, there you go. We'll see what Liberty does. We'll be back here next week. Liberty Gorman, Saturday at Rancho.